It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wow, Bob. Mid-August. Here we are, brother. And I don't know where the summer went, but it's fastly winding down. Had a wedding yesterday, Friday night wedding. Those are, you know, COVID hangovers from last year that were supposed to happen that happened this year. And you can only get a Friday venue. You can't get Saturday. But you know what? They're married, and that's all that matters. So it's good to have one of my stepsons. Now I've got a new daughter-in-law. So kind of cool. You know how that works. You've been down that road, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's the smokiest show on the airwaves. And it's quite a time we live in. We got people getting married, and we got people getting stranded in Afghanistan. I feel so sorry for our troops and all the Afghanis who helped us. We should have never been there, but we have a real shoot show on our hands right now, and we've got people in harm's way. We got to pray for our brothers and sisters over there, and that this clone or whatever is in the White House or wherever he is figures things out, or somebody around him at least figures out a way to get people home, because it's gone from bad to worse. And we're going to talk about sausage, but that thing is sausage out there, I'll tell you.
Right, yeah.
It's a triple grind. So,
you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're done with the editorials and or we're taking them serious, but let's lighten the load a little bit, Bob, because sausage is something that I really enjoy. And you can make it a lot of different ways, a lot of different things in it. And, you know, you've always heard the adage, you don't want to see sausage being made, right? Because basically it's grinding up a lot of stuff. And as Bob referenced, where our world seems to grind a lot of things up. And
it's put the it Taliban out. Triple grind.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway.
So types of grinds and casings. I noticed when I'm in, Australia, Wisconsin, they use a double grind over there a lot. Now, Johnsonville brats are made in Wisconsin, came from Wisconsin. They're made all over the country now. But they're traditional German settlers in Wisconsin, farmers largely, always do a double grind. And if you notice, it looks completely different than a single grind.
Right. And so what you're referencing is the meat that goes into, and it could be vegetables too.
Chicken lips.
Yep, right. Chicken lips, all of them, yeah. Sausage traditionally was something that was made out of other parts of meat you didn't want to eat on their own, right? You grind things up, you mix things together, and lo and behold, you put a little seasoning or some flavoring in there of some sort, and then you get something that's edible that maybe otherwise wasn't. And back in the Depression and times of
hundreds of years ago,
right? This was a process that was done to feed people, right? To make people the food that they had go farther.
Yeah, I found a recipe that goes back to the 1500s in France.
Yeah.
One of these we're going to talk about, so I don't know how good it is.
But the grind is just that. You put bigger chunks of meat in a meat grinder, you run it through and make them into smaller little bits of meat. And what Bob was referencing a double grind is just what it sounds like, right? You put it through there twice, but you might change the knives that are in the grinder to grind it up a little bit finer the second time through, right? Because if you've ever seen one of these grinders, it's a hopper on top, and today they're electric, but they used to be arm crank. I grew up with one. My mom
everybody had one back
right?
In the 60s and right. 50s,
and,
70s.
You clamped it to the bench, man, and, yep. And you'd stand out there, and when I was big enough to turn the crank, that was my job, and then you had to be careful because you don't want to put your fingers in the top and get them caught, but you know, if you're turning the crank and all of a sudden your finger starts to hurt, you're either going to pull your finger out or stop cranking. Right, but
had a built-in safety device.
Right, yeah. But anyway, so you grind that stuff up, and there's a certain set of It's almost like a little plate that's on the end of that grinder that the stuff gets forced through
there.
Couple
of them, yep.
And that determines the size of the stuff that you're grinding up. And the smaller the holes in the plate, the more fine the grind, right?
I'm hoping to get my hands on a good grinder this year. I threaten to every year. I have that little device for my wife's mixer, but...
the KitchenAid, right?
Yeah, right. It does a really nice job for little jobs, but if you're doing a whole deer, and if, you know, hopefully I'll have two deer this year, or three or four, if everybody else gets one. But it's nice to take a couple of them and just grind it up, because then you have the ability to make all your sausage.
Right.
And my buddy up north, Kirk Taylor, I stayed with him last summer up in Reed City, where I'm headed right after this. For the Crossroads Festival.
Oh yeah, you're gonna sell food up there again?
No. Just gonna drink beer.
One,
but he
learned that lesson, I guess.
Yep,
huh? Yeah,
he gave me some breakfast sausage, venison breakfast sausage.
Mm-hmm.
That was so good.
Yeah, what was different about it? I mean,
It tasted just like regular sausage. It was a little leaner than your, you know, stuff from the butcher supermarket. But like Sobeys, really, Sobeys is very lean.
Right.
And it's all pork, but this was venison, and I'm telling you, it was fantastic.
So you had to mix a little bit of fat in it, though.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure he did, but...
You know, I was over at a major sporting goods store that we have here in Grand Rapids area, and walked through there and saw that they had meat grinders and meat slicers. This is Cabela's.
That'd be Cabela's, because they
that
do
are
sell
on
them.
Sale. They were on sale, though. They're all like $30 to $50 off. For mm-hmm. them, but boy, they make a lot of different sizes. I mean,
in China,
right? Yeah, well, I don't know where they're made. I didn't look that close.
Yeah.
I just walked by, and there was a half a dozen of them, from little guys that to stuff that looked pretty dang industrial.
So, if you want a nice grinder, there's a company I think out of Indiana that is very famous for making commercial ones. And if you look on eBay and Craigslist and different sites, take your DuckDuckGo, your search engine, and punch in meat grinders in my area, you'll find some of those older ones that were in little butcher shops and whatever. They're probably 50 years old, but they just don't fail. I can't think of the name of them right now, but you can just
is that it?
Well, that is one of them. Yep. That might be the one made there. But my point is, you can buy an older commercial brand for $200-$300. And it's not Chi-Com made. It's really heavy, really nice stainless, and that's the way I'd go. That's what I'll be doing here, hopefully in the next few weeks, because I intend to have one in my garage.
Well, you know,
the other thing then is to have a stuffer.
Yeah. Well, the stuffer is an attachment to the grinder, isn't
well,
it?
Well, no. Typically, your stuffer is a separate device. It looks like a silo.
Oh, yeah.
You stuff your meat in it, and it's got either a manual or a mechanical compression, and you put your casings on the end.
Right.
And they're really nice. They're very handy. But I learned how to stuff at Sobeys. Rob Russell and I were doing a sausage class about 10 years ago, and I asked all over where I could find some casings, and Sobeys was in their old building back then, and that's when I met Teresa. And then later she introduced me to Tim, and of course we became fast friends.
It's
not hard with those guys.
Fast forward 10 years, we've been enjoying their wonderful products for all that time. But I'm just looking online here, Bob, while we're sitting here talking, and you can get the grinders and with the stuffer attachment right on it. You take the grinding head off and put. So I think you just run the meat back through it.
Yeah, there are some that do that,
And their prices are all over the board, from $75 to $5,000 and everything in between. You know, it's like anything else.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about what to put in your sausage, not so much the process itself. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're talking sausage all day today, you know, so that could mean anything, right? Because you can put about anything in a sausage. But we were just talking off air there between the segments about how they're made with this. There's different kinds of casings, right? I mean, there's natural casings, and there's man-made casings.
Right.
And the natural are just a clean, either large or small intestine. Just depending on what size of a sausage that you want. And then there's man-made casings if people don't like those. You remember the Kogel Viennas? Those are all made with natural casings, right? A hot dog is a sausage by any other name, right?
That's the snap.
Yeah. So,
and that's a double grind or triple grind.
Yeah, right. Those are real super smooth, aren't they? Yeah.
It's like,
but anyway, but traditionally, what you're doing is you're putting fat and lean meat together in some sort of a ratio, grinding them together with seasonings, maybe some vegetables, maybe some cheese, and we'll talk about all of that in the next couple segments, right?
That's right. So you wanted to talk about adding the high-temperature cheese.
You know, and I did a little research on that, and it doesn't really matter whether you use low temperature or high temperature cheese if you put them in that natural casing. Because when you're cooking them, and we're going to talk about that too, whether you're boiling them or you're grilling them or you're browning them or you're smoking them, whatever it is that you want to do, and we're going to do all of that. If you don't pop that casing, that cheese will stay in there. Because typically when they're filled, right, they run out the end of the sausage filler, and then they twist up the ends.
Except what you've done is you'll get the flavor, you just won't see the cheese.
Well,
because it melts. So if you use the high temperature stuff, like if you go to Sobey's and get their meat sticks, you'll see the little chunks of cheddar.
Right.
That's because it's high temp.
Right. Cheddar's one of them, and what it is a high temp cheese versus a non high temp cheese is real simple. It's moisture content, okay? So if you're looking at some of these...
It's old cheese.
Harder cheeses, they're not that are like a Havarti or a Munster, a provolone, a sharp cheddar, right? These are harder cheeses, and what makes them harder is the fact that they've got more protein in them than other cheeses, just the way they're made, and the formulation of the cheese itself is more acidic, and sometimes there's more salt in them, and the combination of those two make the cheese a little
so
bit harder.
So, like the day after a party when you see the cheese tray and the cheese is all hard, that'd be perfect for sausage.
Well, it could be, yeah. I mean, it's dried out a little bit, and then because that's what happens to cheese when you leave it out, right?
So what's the best way to grill it? Do you boil it first, or do you grill it?
It depends on what it is.
John Kogel, when he was on the show,
right,
he was teaching us how to do a Kogel Vienna properly,
right?
And he said to boil them a couple hours.
Right.
So, you know, guess it depends on how you like it,
right?
How it's supposed to taste to you. I never boil sausage. Some people like to boil their brats in beer. I guess it does add a little profile to the outside. It's not penetrating the sausage. I'll
not with the casing.
Much.
Right,
no.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And you can overcook it that way, I think, you know?
Yep. I had, I know some Polish gentlemen, Sobey being one of them, that do boil their kielbasa, which is a sausage, mm-hmm. right? They'll boil their kielbasa before they grill it. And they grill it just to get marks so it looks pretty.
Yeah.
Because boiled meat isn't terribly attractive.
Boring.
Yeah, it isn't attractive. So you put a little color on it. And the benefit that I feel that we have for grilling is it crisps up that casing, and it's a little easier to eat. Sometimes when it's boiled casing, it gets a little rubbery in your mouth.
Well, and here's
you can still eat it. It's not going to hurt you, but the mouthfeel of it is just weird.
I think one of the advantages to boiling like a kielbasa or something like that might be that, you know, the thing wants to swell a little bit when it cooks.
Yep.
If it's on the grill and swelling, it's just going to crack, and you're going to have grease going all over, and it might flare up a little bit.
And it dries out is the other thing. Because what we're talking about is that natural casing, if it gets on the fire and it gets brittle, then it'll crack. And what you'll see, I've seen them happen, just little pinholes, and it'll shoot the juice out of that sausage foot in the air.
Yeah, my hummingbirds love that.
Yeah.
The Polish hummingbirds.
Right. They fly backwards.
Yeah. Oh, Tim, did you hear that? So I think, you know, one of the great ways that I used to turn a lot of people on to doing brats was just throw them in the smoker.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to do any of this junk.
Right.
You throw it in the smoker, and here's a good use for your thermopen. Put it in the end of the sausage so you don't have that big squirt coming out, and bring it up to 165 and pull it. Some people will put them in a water bath if you don't want them to shrivel up too much.
Yeah, and after they've smoked.
And you can actually have like a camphor tray.
Chafer tray?
Or that.
That one too, yeah.
Was it called a camphor dish?
I don't know.
Yeah. So you heat up water or whatever you're going to soak it in, and you put it in that moisture, and it kind of stays more attractive looking,
right?
And doesn't get all shriveled up, because when you pull them off the smoker, they do look like they're 90.
As they cool
they
down,
look like they're 90 year old.
Yeah,
Arizona
as they cool
people.
Down, they wrinkle up a little bit because they're losing hydration in the smoker. That's what you want to do is you want to cook them and cook that out of there.
I don't care about the looks either. I'm all about the taste.
Right.
Grilled sausage, you got to just make sure your temp is good, because grills vary all over the place in temperature.
Right.
And we're talking about a ground pork product generally.
Generally.
Beef and pork mixture, maybe lamb.
Right.
Duck, who knows what's in it. But if you're grilling it, you know, there might be a reason to boil it a little bit.
Yeah, and what I would say is depending on what they're made of, your temperature is important too, because you want to make sure that you get those things done.
That's my point.
You don't want a raw sausage.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's all about temperature. So, like for Italian sausage, there's a guy over in Detroit that makes the best Italian sausage, Piccarelli's. And it's up on 25 in Van Dyke. It's a big banquet hall, and their sausage is spot on perfect. And if you grill something like that and throw it on top of your pasta, number one, your presentation kills.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, especially if you line them up and you got a big bowl of spaghetti. That's just so gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Do you leave them linked up, or are you cutting them on the bias?
No, you just put them singles out there.
Oh, okay.
Or whatever. But, right. I mean, the main thing is you've got all your Italian sausage with grill marks.
Yeah.
I think it's something that's enticing
well,
to people.
Well, you know, you've seen me say this, or heard me say this rather before.
I've seen you say it.
That you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your mouth third. Because you got to see it and smell it, and then it's appetizing, then you want to taste it, right?
Well, if you said, I've seen you say it, that totally throws me off.
Well, you knew where I was going, though, right? Yeah, you knew exactly where I was going. Speaking of which, it's time for us to go to a commercial. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. We're talking sausage mania today, and we're here approaching the Labor Day weekend, so we thought we'd, you know what, that's traditional sausage time, so we thought we'd talk about a little ahead of time so you could get some ideas. You know, we talked about it on the grill, a little bit on the smoker. You gave me yet another one of your toys that I really, really like, and that's that Epicoa skewer machine.
Oh, I'm sorry already.
That will be out. That will be out this weekend because I've got a lot of people to feed, and I just like playing with the damn thing.
You just want to show off.
Right.
You can say it. It's all right.
It's cool. It's really cool. But what it is
Brazilian barbecue.
Yeah, it's a Brazilian barbecue.
And that's where I'm going with this skewer sausage, and it you don't have to get the greatest cut, expensive stuff. You know, you can get that basic country line or whatever the ring of sausages that's already smoked.
Hillshire Farms can, or Eckrich or wherever.
Hillshire is a great one. Yep. Johnsonville even makes them, but you can cut those into little chunks.
Right.
And put all your veggies on a skewer. Number one, your sausage is already cooked.
Right.
So you can just do the veggies nice.
Right.
As Paulie would say.
To where you want them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll prove it to you. At an HPBA show, when I was working with Epicoa years ago, we had a bunch of those lined up, and we were using those sausages, peppers, and onions.
Oh, yeah.
And we had the seagulls lined up longer than any booth in the show.
Right.
For freaking sausage.
Right.
Just a snack. Because it looked so nice.
Right. Big old red and green peppers and a piece of onion sausage. They're really colorful.
So if you're going to feed all those people,
it's
save
easy.
Some money.
It's easy, guys. That's the cool part about this too, because if you use unsmoked sausage, because you're talking about smoked sausage that you get in a package, that's ready to eat right out of
the
package.
You can get smoked kielbasa right from Sobey.
Right, but if you put it on there raw, two things are going to happen: is it's not going to get done before the vegetables are way overdone. And it's going to fall apart. When you cut that casing in little chunks, it's going to just disintegrate. You're not going to be able to put it on a skewer.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah, so that is why we are using the pre-smoked stuff. You've seen it, the ring of it in the grocery store.
Yeah, Hillshire Farms, you nailed it. I've done blind taste tests with my kids back when they lived with us. Hillshire smokes it, man. Yep. They beat everything. Breakfast sausage. But you've got people over, you can stop on the way back home from the studio here.
Right.
But what I was going to say is, think up a nice basting material for your last 2 minutes on it. And I'm thinking like Some of those hot pepper jellies. Hoisin sauce is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Hoisin sausage is right. a way, but right. it helps your veggies out a little bit. You know, you just get a little something on them.
Right, yep.
Because peppers can be, I mean, we eat a lot of peppers, but, you know, they need a
little. Yum sauce.
There you go.
Use some of that on there. Yeah.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, that is good because you're right. They dry out a little bit and it just, something a little tacky right at the end
I'm
just makes it
tacky.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah, really good. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all during the barbecue, not just at the end.
So Cajun sausage, what do you think about Cajuns? How do you like it?
You know, a lot of the Cajun sausages that I've had are too spicy for most of my guests. And you know that I'm a little bit of a wimp when it comes to spice. I'm not really the guy that likes to have my mouth on fire when I'm eating. Other people, I know you prefer spicy sausages more than probably anybody I know. So it's personal preference. To me, Cajun doesn't have to burn in the top of your mouth off to be good. There's a lot of really good seasonings in it. So I guess I would qualify my comment with, I like Cajun sausages if they're not too spicy. And they really add a great flavor complement if you can skewer little chunks of those with some shrimp and you do those on a rotisserie. Because again, that sausage, if it's not cooked, boil it first, then cut it up into pieces, put it on there with your shrimp. And shrimp and sausage is, especially Cajun sausage, is wonderful. That Tony Chatteris, or is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Right. That's put some of that seasoning on there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good on shrimp. And it just kind of, and you know, the other thing that's good on that skewer is take a corn on the cob and cut it up, cut one cob of corn up into like three or four pieces and put those on the skewer. So put a sausage, a corn, a shrimp, a sausage, corn, shrimp kind of thing on there. Those on your rotisserie. And those are wonderful. And that corn will be done when the shrimp are done because it's in little pieces.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had boudin?
Yeah. You know what? I have. Not my favorite. Oh. It's not my favorite.
I love it because it's got rice in it.
Right.
And
it's a sausage with rice
like
in it.
It's like a Cajun
right?
pasty.
Yeah. Tubular. A tubular Cajun pasty.
In a lamb's bowels.
Right, yeah. Other than that, doesn't it sound really good?
That is very French. And, of course, most of the Cajun stuff is French. We're going to cover some of that in the final segment. Thank God we'll be done.
Yeah.
But I love Cajun food, but boudin's the only Cajun sausage I like. I'm just not a big fan of
Cajun sausage, man.
Well,
I guess
those are the two types.
So what makes them Cajun?
They're both French.
What makes them Cajun? I mean, is it the seasoning?
Louisiana.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that Cajun country.
You just
got
to make them there.
So it's got to be just a seasoning profile, right? And it's got a little a little what in it? Come on, I'm pinning you down here.
Andouille is the one I was thinking of, and that's the one I'm not a big fan of. I just haven't found a recipe that smacks of, holy cow, I got to have this again.
Yep.
Unlike, you know, certain kibasas, the Parkside from Sobeys, it's just so perfect.
Right.
My brother Mike, when he was still alive, he just passed here a few months back. I would go to Sobey, and I would get like 10 pounds of the Parkside, and we'd go over and put it on his grill real low and slow with some wood chips and have a cigar and a glass of wine. And after about an hour, that it was so gorgeous, and the smell was on the same deck with us, you know.
Yeah, right.
The smell was so enticing. And I mean, the first time I served that to him, he could not believe it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's that good.
Oh, it is.
That's why it wins the Kielbasa Idol every year.
Right, yeah. They don't even
compete anymore.
Right, yeah. They won it so many times, they don't even compete with it. It's a crazy good recipe. And when you run across something like that, you know it.
Oh.
You know, and
he did. I told him I was going to bring him my favorite kielbasa because we weren't Polish, but let's face it, I grew up with all ethnicities, right?
Right.
Most of us did.
Yeah.
So you knew an Italian family, German, we were Scandinavian, French.
Right.
And so we had all those things in mom's wheelhouse.
Yeah. and it's good stuff because you'd go over to the neighbor's house whose family made a particular version of sausage and had it there, and it's like, oh man, what a treat.
And then I married into the Lebanese and
right.
learned all that. So.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of time. So coming up next, we're going to do maybe a little Polish, some German, and we touched upon Italian. But there are different flavor profiles, and Bob's got some recipes here that we might talk a little bit about some of the ingredients in them. So stick with us. We're going to smoke your link when we come back.
You scare me every time you try to do that.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Oh, welcome back. The things that happened during the break. We just coined the newest phrase that I'm going to use, and I don't think it's that bad. But
Tim Sobey'd like that.
Right, yeah. So, Bob was, we were talking about what we were going to talk about.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Read that question. Is there a French sausage?
Yeah, you just read it yourself. So Bob's best conversations happen with Bob. So he poses the question. Now he's going to give you the answer.
Once in a while. my grandma was French, and she barely spoke English, and unless she got mad at my dad for calling her a French Canadian or whatever she was.
A hussy.
She wasn't Canadian, but those French girls can get pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
So here's all the my research is like, yeah, Boudin, it's French. It's a white pudding sausage made from prime cuts of pork, fat, fresh eggs, milk, and a secret blend of sausage seasons. Comes from the 17th century in the Rethel district of the Ardennes.
You were talking about that, maybe this boudin. You were talking about it with rice that comes from Cajun country, but this doesn't have any rice in it.
Right. The Cajun stuff has rice in it. And that was do you remember the financial advisor who used to love our show and sit in with us once in a while on one of the other stations? He brought me a pack up from – he's from Louisiana.
Oh.
Anyway, he's here in Grand Rapids. Anyway.
Must have left an impact on us. I can't remember his name.
He brought me some
that
was so stinking good. I cooked it and I ate it all myself. That was a boudin with rice.
Okay.
The other one is neck – I'm going to butcher the name, but it's like d'Alsace. It's cooked, smoked, made from pork and beef. And it's darker pink color because of the beef. And it's famous Frankfurters. The sausage are produced in the French region of Alsace. It's their hot dog.
Oh, okay.
It looks just like a hot dog.
Yeah, I know. When we go over to Sobey's, he's got German wieners, too, that are different than a hot dog would be.
Yeah.
It's not a sausage. He calls them German wieners, and they're a little bit bigger around, different grind, different.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So that
it's just a sausage.
Right. So keep going. Keep going on your.
These, and what I guess the point is, as I looked at all these recipes and all these things, I mean, like, these are all really, really similar. Like, this one is Saucisse de Montbéliard, and it's smoked sausage from pork, natural pork casing, smoky flavor. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Sawdust smoking. It's a production line pork. It's kneaded. It's got herbs, cumin, pepper, all these different things in it. But they're all very similar. This one's called Saucillon Brioche, and it's just, again, it's just another sausage, but it's from Lyon, and it's coated with pistachios in a brioche loaf. So they bake it in a brioche loaf. Pigs in a blanket, baby!
Yeah, right there it is.
Except it sounds better when you say saucillon brioche.
Yeah, we've had him on the show, my nephew, Eric. is a chef, and he works for a company called Olympia Provisions. And Olympia Provisions put themselves on the map by making sausages.
Pigs in a blanket?
Well, just these kind of things. As it just occurred to me that we're sitting here talking about this, and he speaks this language, is where I'm at, is that there are nuances. You know, a lot of them are all ground pork. You start with ground pork, add some fat. From there, it goes a lot of directions.
Look at there. Jop comes to life.
Right. I
it
came
took
to life.
Sausage.
Right. But at the end of the day, there's one here called a diet, but I think it might be an idiot, because it's D-I-O-T, right? But again, all it's talking about is a fatty ground pork sausage seasoned with salt, pepper, and nutmeg on this particular one.
Yep.
There you go. You just went down, you're going down the same road. You just take a little turn to the right or a little turn to the left.
Boiled, grilled, or braised.
Right.
Most popular way of a dish called diots au vin blanc is they're boiled in white wine. And that's why I put that note on there, because I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. You're boiling it in white wine. And if it's a little bit of a basic sausage, maybe that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I know Trevor's taking notes over here. He's like shaking his head like, I'm hungry.
So then the boiling liquid that you talk about, that imparts a flavor as well, right? Whether you do them in dark beer, you do them in light beer, you do them in wine.
White wine.
Yeah.
Somebody leaves that junky wine at your house?
Right.
Boil your sausage.
Yeah.
And then these guys are talking about serving it with some Dijon, of course, lentils, or boiled potatoes. I would do all of them.
Yeah. Right.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go home and boil some sausage.
Yeah.
And then this one was Toulouse. Reminded me of the Doobie Brothers album.
Yeah.
Coarsely minced pork. And the appearance, and I copied those pictures here, you can see as more your traditional, you know, like Johnsonville brats kind of have that. You can tell when it's a single grind.
Right. They're bigger chunks of the meat.
You see the fat.
And you see the fat through the casing.
Yeah.
And whereas a double grind, it's going to look all smooth and consistent. You're not going to get fluctuations in color.
This one was sexy. Boudin Noir All Palms. And it's a blood sausage.
So tell me about that. What does that mean, blood sausage?
I was hoping you'd know.
No, I think I do.
They use blood in it,
right.
Like liverwurst is liver.
Right.
I don't think it's all blood, because that would just squish out. But I think it's you put your bloody
as a binding agent, a binding agent in there to put it together. Now we've been talking a lot of casings, but we make this thing called a fatty out of sausage.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
Right? And that is uncased sausage. And what I mean by that is buy it in bulk, right? You buy it by the pound, just a big, like you would hamburger, but it's a big pile of it that's not in a casing.
Well, you're using a bacon casing.
Right? Yeah, right, yeah. I'm creating one of those. But, you know, you can make patties like burgers. Everybody's had breakfast sausage patties before.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be in a casing. And my wife doesn't particularly care for casing. She just doesn't like that inner the feel of that when she's chewing it. And sometimes if they're not done properly, they're really chewy. And so, you know, you just get it without a casing then. And or buy it in the casing and cut it out. Throw the casing away. Right when you want to use it, because
it's sort of like a Trojan.
You know, another thing you could do with it. I'm not biting on that one. Another thing you could do with it is mix it 50-50 with ground beef, because sausage 100%
sausage.
Yeah, 100% sausage is a little fatty. I mean, it's by design. That's
100% sausage.
Yeah, right. When you get a sausage like that, if you just patty it up, it's going to be fatty. Where if you mix it with some burger. Then it's
going to rap song coming.
Right,
here.
Yeah, right. You're doing a lot of editorializing and very little contribution towards content.
Fatty in the patty. I just love watching you muddle through this. Fatty in the patty.
Well, this is not a spectator sport, right? We're not on TV. This is on. This was radio. I'm not sure what it is right now. But
so listen, we are going to be moving our signal. In the Grand Rapids market, wherever else you're listening, it's all the same. But we are headed over to a place called Jethro FM, and it's 94.9 in Grand Rapids. You can still stream it. It'll stream a little easier, actually, on our website and on your phone. But we're going to be sad to say goodbye to Trevor. We're going to be happy to be on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And it's not a powerhouse group like this, a Town Square Media I've known for years. And they're big and powerful, and they got a lot of great programming. But they can't give us Sunday morning.
Saturday morning.
They can't They can't give us Saturday morning. We're on Sundays at 7, and I mean, most people aren't up at 7 on Sundays. So
right.
We're kind of forced to do this, and we're gonna miss Trevor. But we'll be back again here next week. Unless the managers of the station hear this and they just tell us
they're not up on Sunday mornings at 7. Come on. Who are we kidding? Right? Yeah. Right. They might hear it via the grapevine. But you know, no, this they've been very good to us.
Yes.
They've been very good to us here. Easy to work with.
And we came
great
here,
producer
yes.
that they provided us with. I'm sure he was super skeptical when he drew that short straw, but we've kind of put it together.
Got stuck with a couple of
right. Yep. And now it's
goobers.
This isn't a big change for us, but we felt like we needed to be on Saturday mornings again.
Yeah.
It was where we've done this for the last 10 years and for the last year.
It's our swan song.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. I can't sing it, but.
Well, no, but you could do your, you were just doing a rap a minute ago. So.
Whatever, Bob. All right. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week, even probably more than you do. And, We'll be back, and get out in your backyard, create some grill envy wherever you are, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya!
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.